decided to branch to see what thing they do there. See? Something brought you here. There's a reason you have abandoned your work or whatever you are doing this midweek like this to come here. And the faith that makes you to come here, God will honor that faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Today is your first time of worshiping with us, locating this church at all. Can you wave your hand? How many? First time. Oh. Can you stand up? Stand up on your seat. Just on your seat there.
Thank you, Jesus.
First time. First time. The rest of us, can we put our hands together?
We love you.
Hallelujah. Robinson, praise God. One interesting thing is, they are concerning this church. Every one of us sitting down here, including you, Pastor Festus, Prophet Chibwese, all of the, including the ministers that some of you want to see today, one on one. We all of every one of them came here one day like this. Amen. They just come visit. They just came too, like you came. One day they stood up like this too, and we shook hands with them, we blessed them. But after that, they too, some of them became people that people were now coming to see them too. Hallelujah. That is Bride Assembly. So I don't know why God brought you here. You may think it is because of your problem. It may not be just for your problem to be solved, though. The full step of the righteous is ordered by God. Hallelujah. As time goes on, you will know why God brought you here. Anybody sitting near any of them and you have the Holy Ghost, be sure you have the Holy Ghost. So can you shake hand and tell them something good? Shake hand with them. If you don't get Holy Ghost, don't touch them. Oh.
You will live here as you came in Jesus' name. Bound, oppressed, tormented, sick, or lame. For the Holy Ghost,
God bless you, is
still the same. You won't live here as you came in Jesus' name.
God bless you, be seated. So we welcome you truly. Hallelujah. There are some of us that some people brought you here and they went back. There are some people that we never, refuse to worship with us here. But now then they drag people, they come here. They will jam you for road. When they hear your problem, they say, I will show you one place. They will give you address. You come to Bride Assembly. When they read, they say, now the church be that. Then go, I can't go back. Hallelujah. Those people, they are our special evangelists. They are evangelists for Bride Assembly. Amen. One of the reasons some of them cannot worship here is because they believe God is real here. But the problem is they cannot go along with our doctrine. They cannot go along with our doctrine. They believe this is our own, too hard. They know God, they know. Even in the church where they worship, they'll be telling people in that church, if you want this your problem to go to Ejesha. Go to Bride. But may them come now for where? Amen. I saw a sister that used to be with us sometime. And She stopped coming. I jammed her somewhere. And I said, sister, we've not seen you again in the church. She said, yes, Pastor, make I tell you the truth. Now, doctrine too hard for me. I said, what is hard for you? Say, how can you say a young girl like me should not wear trouser? I said, so that is all your problem with our church? Trouser. Young girl to wear trouser. Amen. Well, nothing will make us change that doctrine. We believe that a Christian should dress like a Christian. A Christian man should dress like a Christian man. A Christian woman should dress like a Christian woman. Stand by it. And please, for those of you coming here for the first time, we are not just another church. We are not just another Pentecostal church. For your information, there is something God is doing just before the rapture. God is restoring the fallen church back to the Bible Christianity. God has sent a message to the church of Jesus Christ to come out of error and come back to Bible Christianity. The church, believers, supposedly Christians, have dumped the Bible Christianity and they have devised their own means of worshiping the Lord. And remember what happened to David when he took the ark of God and put it in a new cart. God ordained how the ark will be carried. But David wanted to modernize the way the ark will be carried. God was not happy over it until Uzzah had to die. Because we know the story, we are Christians. You see? And what we are doing here in this church is that we had that message that says, come back to the Bible. Come back to the Bible. Bible Christianity. And if you are going to come back to Bible Christianity in this age, then that church is going to be very odd. You're going to look very odd. That is why we are very odd. Why? Because error has taken over the whole church until error has come to be accepted like truth. Because this is the days, this is the age of fake products, including fake churches. Everything fake. But the fact that there is fake is only evidence that there is original. Because the fake is the original that is faked. There is original Christianity. The pattern is in the Bible. Praise the Lord. And nobody, I was preaching on Sunday, I made a statement here. I said, no one can defeat the purpose of God. No one can defeat the purpose of God. Those of you who were here on Sunday, I was using it to explain to you that when God made man in his own image. And I said the image of God is not nose or hide or skin color. The image of God is his characteristics. God made man in his own characteristics. But Satan came and perverted it. And so human beings have become what we are today. But God originally, he said, let us make man in our image. God desired to make man in his image. Nothing will stop it. Isaiah 55 says, the word that comes from the mouth of God shall not return to him void. It will accomplish what he has desired it. When God is saying, let us make man, and he made man in his own image, Satan can never defeat that purpose. Praise the Lord. And it lasted 6,000 years now that Satan has messed up human race. Messed us up. Until we are worse than animals. Killing one another. Human being will carry another human being and do kill and save for ritual. Until a human being will stand before his maker and say there is no God. Disagreement, war, and all manner of evil everywhere. Human beings have become mad. Every human being is a mad human being. Any human being that his head is not correct, what do you call him? Are you afraid? You are afraid that you are mad. Every sinner is a mad human being. Because your head is not correct. Because God will say, don't do this. Now that thing I they live in every day. Your head correct. You are mad. On Sunday, I was telling you people something. I said that what is it that makes a madman to go to the dustbin and begin to eat there? What is it that makes a madman to dress naked? What is it that makes a madman to just go to any bush and lie down there? Carry dirty water, begin drink. And then, you that you are normal, when you look at him, you are looking at him as a madman. He is looking at you as, now you know correct. Eh? To him, the right life to live, now in the live zone. To dress naked and go about. Like correct, like, hey, he'll be talking to himself. And then he will laugh. There is a spirit that is pushing him to do like that. When that spirit is on that human being, that man or that woman, you say he or she is mad. You that you are little bit better than him. Now, every human being, since we fell out from the Garden of Eden, and Satan took over from us, I mean from God, took over the life of every human being. We live the stupid life we live. Drunkards and have no time for God. Liars and murderers and all manner of jealousy and incitements and every evil going on. The angels of God that are holy, they are normal. They are looking at all of us as mad people. Because they are normal. Meanwhile, when you see one that is delivered, a drunkard, a prostitute, a girl that is living a wayward life, when she sees her mate that has been delivered, be born again, is a Christian living a normal life, they will tell you, hey, in Kechi, see the way you did dress. See the way you did dress. A madman, a mad woman is looking at a normal woman and saying, how they dress like that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Christianity has been bastardized. But nobody can defeat the purpose of God. God decided to still create man in his own image, and he started the third creation I was talking about on Sunday. Through Jesus Christ, again, the last Adam, to produce sons and daughters of God in his own image. Again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is why I say our destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. That's our destiny. The same thing also. The church started. Satan entered and bastardized it. As if there will be no church. But Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not. And when God himself said the gate of hell shall not prevail, it means it, the gate of hell shall not prevail. Because God has decided in every age to get his own children. In this age, he is getting his own children also. Hallelujah. And he said, My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not listen to. Why? Because there are two spirits in the church, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Hallelujah. Satan is the author of lies. And depending on who you listen to, that is how you will respond in your Christian life. And so many of us are following the spirit of error and thinking we are following the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. And the Bible says, He, when you receive the Holy Ghost, will lead you to all truth. All truth. Praise the Lord. That is the problem in Christianity. God is bringing back a people back to Bible Christianity. And this church here, we heard the voice of that message. We have responded. We have come out of the denominational errors. Somebody help me read Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I will read it. Matthew chapter 15. Hallelujah. This is dedicated to those coming here for the first time. Then we go into action. Amen. Verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem. Scribes and Pharisees. Hallelujah. Scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees, they were the doctors of divinity of that time. They were the religious leaders in Israel. They came to Jesus saying, verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. So that is where that chapter is centering on. The disciples, the scribes, the religious people, very, very religious. They came, they noticed that the followers of Jesus Christ, they were not following according to them the laws of Moses. Before you eat, wash your hand. Before you eat, do this. Before you do this, do that. Wash this. And they were saying, before they eat, they discovered that they don't wash before they eat. And then Jesus gave them this answer. But he answered and said unto them, verse 3, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. That is the commandment of God. But you say, verse 5, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, but whatever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What Jesus Christ is saying here is, okay, let me finish reading. You hypocrites, verse 7, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What I want to pick from here is a group of religious people. then we are supposed to follow the same God of this Bible. At that time, hallelujah, by the time Jesus Christ was appearing, they had stopped following the commandments of God, and now they created their own commandments for the people to follow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is the same setting that is on now. The same setting that is on now in the church of Jesus Christ. He said, the Bible said, honor your father and mother. And that he that curses his father or his mother, let that person be put to death. He said, but you the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you are teaching the people. If you have something that you are supposed to use to bless your parents, your father and mother, it is your responsibility to take care of them. But instead of giving your parents, you deny your parents and you bring it as an offering to the temple where the scribes and Pharisees are, instead of giving to the parents, he said, that person is free from that law. He has not disobeyed the law of God. He said, so, by your tradition now, you have nullified a commandment of God. Praise God. And that is exactly what is still going on in the church of Jesus Christ today. A lot of things they teach in the churches are just contrary to what this Bible teaches. Commandment of men. You see? There's a popular commandment of men, a doctrine of men. That sounds so funny, and yet churches that believe they are churches of holiness, wanting to keep the people holy and things like that. Concerning marriage and divorce, for instance. Say if you married more than one wife before you become a Christian. Now you are a Christian. Now you are born again. Say, the Bible says one man, one wife. Therefore, the second one when you marry, no be your wife. Carry him, go. Send her away so that you will go to heaven. Send her away. It's one man, one wife. Why will you, because of a woman, risk your life? Why will you, because of marriage, sister, you are holding on to another person's husband? Go and look for your own husband. There's nothing like that in Christianity. It's a commandment of man. No Bible base for that. It's because people don't understand revelation, salvation. Nothing like that. Anytime I consider that doctrine, it pains me to see what ignorance we do. And Jesus Christ made a statement. Which verse did he put that? Verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Hey! Some people hearing me saying this for the first time now, they will say, waiting this man to talk. Is he supporting polygamy? No! Christians are supposed to marry one wife only. The law is for Christians. As a Christian now, if you marry a woman now as a Christian, that is, you have known the truth now. You know the truth now. If you marry a wife, you must not add. You cannot divorce her. If you divorce her, you are risking your eternal destination. And you cannot marry a second wife to add to that one. Whether she is bad or she is good. Whatever is for better, for worse. Till death do you part. But before you became a Christian, if you had four wives, before you became a Christian, they are your wives. You did it in ignorance. You cannot restitute a human being. A human being is not somebody's car that you stole, that you say, take back your car. What is restitution? Restitution is making right a wrong you have committed. But that wrong that you have committed must be rightable, must be, you know, something that it's possible to be done. There are some things we did wrong that we can never correct them. One of it is marriage. As a human being, I mean, as an unbeliever, hallelujah, you took a woman. Not be marriage and divorce at the talk. I just want to let you people understand some of the doctrine of men that is no, it's not founded. So you understand what I want to say. When a man marries a woman, you took a woman, you married her, maybe at the age of 21, 22, you married her, then she has 4 or 5 children for you. About 30 years or 25 years after, 20 years after, then you give your life to Christ. She is your second wife. Then you give your life to Christ in a deeper life church or inside choosing church. Then your pastor say, that is not your wife. She's not your wife. Whose wife is she? Okay. So since he said make restitution. Restitution, it means you will take her back to how she was 25 years ago. That is restitution. Take her back, everything, sharp, pointing, everything. You took her away 25 years ago. 25 years ago, you have got to have depreciated. You have overspent her. Everything about her has decomposed. Then your pastor is saying, maybe your wife. Whose wife? Who will she go and meet? At that age, who will she go and meet? It's a doctrine of man. Praise the Lord. It's a doctrine of man. Okay, you are restituting the woman. You are sending her back to her husband. What of the children? You disown them. Not be your picking. And somebody say, but we can separate her. But the man will not be relating to her anymore as a wife, as a husband. That is, he will not be sleeping with her again. That is, he will not be having intercourse with her again. After 5 children, which intercourse does he need again? You see the folly there? And who told you it is intercourse that makes her my wife? Because you don't even understand the meaning of wife. Praise the Lord. So it's a wrong doctrine. But what does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches us to come. We are Gentiles. The gospel came to us in various estates of life. You are to bring the whole of your family to Christ. Matthew 19. Look, there is no marriage in heaven. Every marriage ends here. After here, no marriage in heaven. If I see my wife in heaven, I will not see her as my wife in heaven. I will see her as my sister in heaven. And you can have more than one sister in heaven. Every sister, every brother will become one because we'll be like angels. No marriage. Because they asked the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, one man married a wife. Then he died. Then according to the tradition, his brother had to pick her up. Then after that second one too died. Then another one again pick him. Until how many of them also? Only her. They don't die. Then they ask Jesus, in heaven, who among them will claim her? And Jesus told them, you don't understand this thing about the kingdom. He said, in heaven, there is no marriage. We don't marry in heaven. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus knows everything about heaven. The songwriter said, he came from heaven to earth to show the way. He came from heaven. Praise the Lord. And so he tells us about heaven. We have to believe his account. None of us has gone to heaven yet. Praise the Lord. So you are to come to Christ, all of you. The only thing is, according to the Bible, that man cannot be a deacon, that man cannot be a pastor. Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 says that the bishop means pastor, that the bishop must be husband of one wife. Why did Apostle Paul say so? Because there were men sitting down that had more than one wife in that church. So he set the church in order. He said that the bishop, the pastor, must be husband of one wife. And the deacon too. He said the deacon must be husband of one wife. So it means if you have more than one wife, you can sit as a church member, do any other thing, but you cannot occupy the office of an elder in the church. That is Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Doctrine of man everywhere. That is why the Lord sent a message to the church. He said, come back to the Bible. Come back to the Bible. It's a doctrine of man. It's a tradition of man created by man. That a man will say, God called me, Pastor Moses, to be a pastor. Therefore, if God called me, call my wife too. It's a tradition of man. It's a tradition of man. If God called me to be pastor, he cannot call my wife automatic because I am pastor. Therefore, she's automatic pastoress. It's family business. They want to conduct. It's family business. So that when the man dies, his wife will take over. And the Church of Jesus Christ is not a company limited. It's not a company limited. And no man is a founder of a church. The founder of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the founder. And no human being is a general overseer. The title of general overseer is a blasphemous title. We are overseers of local churches. I am the overseer of this church. Mwoka is the overseer of that place here. Oyedepo is the overseer of his home. Everyone, they are overseer. And the Holy Ghost is the general overseer of the church. And it is wrong for a man to call himself reverend. A sinner that is saved by grace must remain humble. Concerning salvation, you must put on humility. Don't make it look as if it is an achievement. Salvation is not an achievement. Nobody achieves salvation. We are all going to die. But the hands of grace brought us out of the grave. Out of the fire. Sinners saved by grace. Who made you reverend? And you don't achieve anything concerning salvation. There is no achievement concerning salvation because there is no promotion. Nobody is promoted in the kingdom of God. People don't understand that. You are brought and put in an office. by his grace. You don't walk and earn to that level. You didn't work hard and God said, yes, you work very hard. Therefore, let me make you now bishop. Now, you are now archbishop. Now, you where you have worked so hard now. In fact, I will create another office for you. You are now general superintendent. Now, you are an apostle. But you have worked very hard. Now, you will be called senior, most senior apostle. Because there are junior apostles. Yeah, Prophet Oguajo. From now on, you are senior prophet Oguajo. Because there are small, small, small prophets like Ike Ojade. Nothing like that. Tradition of man. Nothing like that. Nothing like that, though. When God call you, he does not send anybody to Bible school. When God call a man, he does not send anybody to school of theology. Nothing like that. You can never be a preacher because you went to school of theology. If you go to school of theology, you are going to be what? I've said this here several times. If you go to school of theology and they give you a certificate, what you are going to end up to be is you are going to be a lecturer. You are never going to be a preacher. You're going to be a lecturer. They taught you how the type of language you should use, how you should dress, and don't keep the people too long, because when they stay too long, they don't assimilate again. And you know, people are busy, you know, don't waste the people's time. You see? And so they are lecturers. But when God calls you, he anoints you for the thing he has called you to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When God calls you, he anoints you. The anointing is a certificate he gives you to do the thing he has called you to do. So all this thing about God call me, and then you are looking for school fees to go to buy academic gown and buy tuition fee and pay tuition fee and then in one Bible school. No, sir. To start with, everything that pertains to salvation is free. It's free. That you have to pay school fees to get a certificate to come and be a preacher is a tradition of man. So scriptural. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know why I'm saying this, so because of those of you coming for the first time. And why I say you cannot come here by accident. This type of place here, you can't come here by accident. So that you also understand why some people were here and they don't come back again. Because a woman that is bent on being a woman pastor, she will never like this church. But we shall always remind you that the Bible forbids a woman pastor. The Bible forbids it for a woman pastor. It's in the Bible. And we shall remind you. He said, but God called me. Yes, every one of us, God call us. All of us, God call us. For all things work together for good to them that are called according to God's purpose. All things work together for good. We are all called. We are called to do what? Our call. Listen, church. Amen. Amen. Every one of us, God has called us to redemption. He called us to redeem us. Then after you are redeemed, we become a family. Then he positioned everyone. Some apostle, some prophet, some evangelist, some teachers, some pastors for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:11. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, the body of Christ is one body but made up of members. And those members, like my body is one, and with various members, every member of the body of Christ, every one of us, we are members of that one body of Christ, but we are members in particular. There is a particular function you have in the body. And that function you have is determined by the gift that God gives you. And 11 of them, 11 of those gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, miracle, healings. What again? All of them, they are there. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits. And then he added government in verse 28 and help. They are all gifts. That is your part to supply to the body. So now, a hand, the hand is a member of this one body. The hand has the function. The hand must not do the work of the leg. When the hand is doing the work of the leg, it becomes abomination. That's what we're saying. The woman, you have your own position. The man, he has his own position. There are certain offices that are exclusive to the man, and that is the leadership offices. But when it comes to the operation of the gifts, both man and woman will operate any gift the Lord has given you. And that's why, here in this church, we have prophets, gifted brothers and sisters that prophesy here, that pray for people for healing. They watch over our women here looking for fruit of the womb. They conduct deliverance. They follow evil to your village and destroy that link you have with those demonic things. They are here. Some of you will see them today one on one. Those of you who come here, you know they are here. Anointed with the gift of the word of knowledge. And when they tell you, the Lord say, I should tell you this, you better take it seriously. And when God calls you, God is not an Englishman. Amen. So if you are listening to our English in this church, you will miss him. God is not an Englishman. And all these musicians that like to sing only Igbo songs, God is not an Igbo man. It's not an Igbo man, no. Samuel, it's not an Igbo man. It's not an Igbo man. Praise the Lord. There is the way Igbo people, when they are worshiping, you would think that God came from Igbo land. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And what happened? Satan came to the church of Jesus Christ and stopped all manner of things in the mind of the people and perverted the true knowledge of what the church should look like, of what the believer should look like. A pastor that has read in the Bible, without holiness, no man will see God. Is it in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? Without holiness, no man will see God. And a pastor will stand and say, you can dress anyhow and come to church. It doesn't matter. Oh, man, it doesn't matter. You are a fine woman. Display your beauty. What you mean is naked yourself. Many people, they see your nakedness. You are beautiful. God is a good God. It's a good God. Oh, my sister, the Lord told me he is pleased with you. Meanwhile, she's naked. God is pleased with a naked woman in the church. Praise God. And so the people think that our God is an anyhow God. Anyhow God. You can come to him anyhow. God is a good God. We are under grace. No more law. You can act anyhow. Just speak in tongue. Just speak in tongue. Oh, build up your most holy faith. Speaking in the spirit. Oh, just make sure you pay your tithe and make vow. Whether na cocaine you dey carry, it doesn't matter. Whether you be arm robber, it doesn't matter. The blood of Jesus has covered you all. And so, everybody is coming to church. Before you know what, that church is growing. Oh, this is the fastest growing church in Lagos. Why will it not grow? Why will it not grow? There is nothing. Look, I go to church and the pastor say, if I can sow, no problem. God is happy with me. So if I go and thief money from my office, I'll bring a part of it and build a house for the pastor. God will be pleased. You see, say, I'll not chop the money where I take. You know, since I use them for you, God. So, and the pastor will bless you. And then some of them have the anointing, you know, in their hand. Take it! And all those cocaine pushers and all those prostitutes, they will fall under anointing. Brah! You have received. Praise God. It's wrong. If there's any cocaine pusher here, repent. That's why God made you to locate this place. Church. If there's any prostitute here, repent. And when I say prostitute now, your mind is going to hotel. I say prostitute now, you're sitting down. The full Ahilara Street. Festus, what's the name of the street? You don't know the street again. You don't forget the street. Praise the Lord. Now it's not it. There are different classes of prostitute. But prostitute is prostitute. Amen. Any woman that sleeps with a man that has not married you, you are a prostitute. No, that is the truth. I'm not yapping you. I'm telling you who you are. So don't you ever see yourself better than the one where they stand for street. Any fine man going, yes, I. Then you go turn him back. Hey, that one is another level of prostitution. And those ones, they are better than you. They are better than you, sister. Sister, they are better than you. They are better than you because they are not hypocrites. They are telling the whole world, this is who I am. You are your own is worse because you go up to your prostitution finish. Wake up in the morning, honey, I'm going to church. And the man will settle you with money. Your boyfriend, you carry Bible on top of this your iniquity. You are coming to church. You are worse than them. A prostitute is any woman that sleeps with a man that has not married you. And marriage, not before mouth, too. Honey, I marry you. Okay, from today you are my wife. Come stay for my house. No, be so they marry. Now so they marry your mama. A man will just carry you, sit in his house. Then they call you my wife, my wife, my wife, my wife, my wife. And you, brother, you say nothing, they work for you. One of the reasons why nothing they work for you because you carry somebody's daughter. Come stay for your house. They call her your wife. Now, so they marry your mama. The papa did that, they vex with you because you put him to shame in the village. What if this your daughter went to Lagos? Now the man go say, now one man. He go stay. He born first pikin for you. He born second pikin for you. He go still stay. You don't know her village. You don't know her father. You don't know her mother. You are sitting down. Smarter, you say nothing, they work for you. How can something work for you? When you are under a curse. You're under a curse. And don't live here and say, you hear what the pastor talk. Please leave my house. She's not going anywhere. She's not going anywhere. She's your wife. Like, sister, no, if you are here, no, come up for that house. Oh. No, come up for that house. No, be waiting. I mean, be this. I mean, go and pay. Go and pay. And pay. Oh, my time don't go. Oh. Praise the Lord. In every aspect of Christianity, they don't turn them upside down. Every aspect, especially the aspect that pertains to salvation. My dear life sister, Belgrade, Sister Belgrade, is she here today? Sister Belgrade. She didn't come here to learn. She came to teach us. She came to argue. Praise God. Praise the Lord. They have confused her about what salvation process is all about. They have confused her. Not only her, all of us. The first step of work of grace, I mean to say, is justification. What is justification? Justification is the process by which God takes a sinner from Biapalo, like Ojade from Mandilas. Ojade was smoking Igbo for Mandilas. Evangelist, then prophet from Oshodi. What's his name? Igbo? Godwin. Godwin was an ally for Oshodi. Who again? Anybody who I know your history, I go talk him. Yes, now. Everybody here know my history. They all of them, when I talk my own, they go to sit down. I say, then they own now for church, altar, and they burn them. And then they grow. So if I know your own, at least I go to talk him so that church will not say, maybe only me, we plenty. Plenty. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God will go to where a sinner is. From where they were smoking, he got his eye red. No time for God. Nothing. But the mercy of God will see him and take him up. That is the meaning of grace. And bring him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then when he brings him, he will use the blood of Jesus Christ and wash away his sins. And then, when he cleanses him, finished, then he knows that he has no power to live a life pleasing before him. There is still something inside of him that can still make him go back and smoke Igbo, go back and drink beer, go back and fornicate. That thing is still there. So, but how will he be able to continue worshiping me? God will give his own spirit inside that person. Hallelujah. And cause him by his own power inside of that person to live a life that is pleasing before him. That is the meaning of grace. That's the meaning of grace. That is the meaning of grace. Praise the Lord. The process of making you to have access to him, making your sins to be washed away, is called justification. That is the first step. After justification, then you have sanctification. And sanctification is a process that we shall live by till we die or till we go in the rapture. Sanctification is a continuous process. Every day we are washed by the water of the word. Ephesians chapter 5. We are washed every day. We are washed till we go to heaven. That's why we come to church. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we hear his word. His word is sharper than two-edged sword. That is what God uses to remove all the excesses in our body. Praise the Lord. Then the glorification, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God himself coming to dwell inside a mortal being as the Holy Ghost. But the first step, if it is taken wrong, others too will be taken wrong. That is why somebody will tell you that the evidence you have the Holy Ghost that you will speak in tongue. Speaking in tongue is not the evidence. It's not the thing they pay me. It's not. Because they know what they are doing. They are willingly deceiving the people. What is the evidence of the Holy Ghost? You can't say this is the evidence until you know the purpose of the Holy Ghost. You have to know the purpose before you can say, yes, this is now the evidence, because you know the purpose. And among the purpose of the Holy Ghost, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to turn a sinner to a saint. Power of transformation. So the first evidence that you are born again, you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is your life will change. Your life will change. The things I or Jade used to do before, even if he tried to go and smoke, he can't smoke again. That taste in him is dead. It's gone. Not him trying to struggle with it. Oh, no, you will not struggle with it. The power to overcome is inside of you. And the second one is that it will lead you to all truth. The Holy Ghost will lead you to all truth. Evidence of the Holy Ghost is if you are holding on to any error and then God open your eyes to see the truth, you will drop the error and hold the truth. That is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. The gift is not the Holy Ghost, it's not the evidence. That I stand and I cast out devil, it's not the evidence that I am born again. That I've received the Holy Ghost. Anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anointing of the Holy Ghost is God's hand coming upon a man, upon a woman to fulfill a purpose. After he carrying his hand, come out, you go the way you are coming from. But anointing by the baptism of the Holy Ghost is God himself coming to dwell inside of you for the purpose of regeneration. So, a fornicator can speak in tongues. A murderer, a thief can speak in tongues and perform miracles, signs and wonders. Have you not seen pastors, some pastors that have girlfriend in the church? After all the anointing finished, under that same anointing, he will book an appointment with a sister. You will say he's born again. He's not born again. If he has the Holy Ghost inside of him, he will not be able to commit fornication. The Bible says that he that is born of God does not commit sin. Why? He said, because his seed remained in him. You can't commit sin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's something affecting you. And if for any reason you fall into sin, your peace is taken away from you. You are not yourself. You are not yourself. Until you recover. Through repentance, confession, and prayers. But how come, what of this one? He commits this sin, no problem. He can cheat, he can steal, no problem. He will stand up from another person's wife. Ha! I was discussing with a sister yesterday what women who are looking for fruit of the womb go through. He said, including her own mother. He said her own mother was telling her what she went through before finally God gave her to the mother. He said, including Babalawo, he said they sleep with the mother, tire. He said the mother was telling her. He said, see what women looking for fruit of the womb go through. And I was telling her, I said, that is what I see. I said, men of God, that you will sit down in your office. A woman, how there is a grace of God upon your life. She's looking for fruit of the womb. Immediately he come, you will end up sleeping with her. And most of the time, they don't do it with ordinary, you know, mouth. Because I know of a sister that told me that she only realized what was happening when she was dressing up in the pastor's office. That's when she realized, hey, what happened? So it means the man used some anointing on her. Some anointing was on her. That's why I say it's not, you don't judge a man by an anointing. You don't judge a man by an anointing. And he will warn you, you will die if you tell your husband. So the woman is there with guilty conscience until the day she dies. That's what I'm telling you. So don't judge anybody by the anointing. The Bible tells us, how shall we know them? Say it very well. By their fruits, not by their anointing. Not by their anointing. So speaking in tongue is not the evidence. And please, everybody in the church cannot speak a tongue. The idea of say everybody stand up, everybody begin to pray in the spirit, everybody speak in tongue. Then you too, you stand up today, mumu. You say, everybody say, ro ro mama, ro ro mama. You too want to say what they are saying. You are a mumu. And Christians are no mumu. You're no mumu. You're no mumu. Oh, tell your neighbor, don't be mumu. Don't be mumu. Tell your neighbor now, don't be mumu. Jerry, tell him now, no, don't be mumu. Don't be mumu. Don't be mumu. Be mumu. Hallelujah. Okay. I cannot talk too much. Now, brother, assembly with this. That justification, that is the water baptism. The process whereby your sins are remitted is you come under the water, signifying your death, your burial, and resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, there is a wrong baptism. For those of you coming for the first time, water baptism is by immersion. You are buried and the earth will have to cover you. That's what that water signifies. And then you resurrect. You come out of the water, the hope of resurrection. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ will raise you too. That's what you are demonstrating. And you come out. The sin that separated you from God is wiped away. Then you stand before God as if you have never sinned before. Then you can tell the devil, leave me alone. You can tell a witch, you have been controlling my life because I was separated from God. Now the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. Therefore, you shrine, I disconnect myself. You demon husband, I have only one spiritual husband. His name is Jesus. Pack and go. Now you can pray and your prayer can be meaningful. You don't need to go to any man of God and then pay him money for prayers and all that nonsense. They take to cheat ignorant people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And there is a formula for that baptism. That formula is in Matthew 28 verse 19. He said we should go and baptize the people in a name. That name is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that is the one that confuses many of you that are coming here for the first time. Father is not the name. Oh. Son is not the name. Holy Ghost is not the name. In the name, one name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. There is one name. That name is the name of the Father, is the name of the Son, is the name of the Holy Ghost. One name, and that is the name. Every baptism was done in that name in the Bible. Church, if you know the name, shout that name. Jesus. Thank you. Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost according to the Bible. I don't have time to give you all the scriptures. And every baptism by the apostles was done in that name. If anybody take you inside water and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost and put you inside water and brings you out, he has not baptized you. He has not baptized you. Ha! Are you hearing me for the first time? You.
No.
You have heard me before? Who they hear me for the first time? You hear me for the first time? Now you?
Yes, sir.
Does that
as
confuse
regards
you?
To the scripture here? John chapter 28, verse 19.
John what? 20, Matthew.
Matthew, rather.
Yes.
8:19.
Read it.
He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations,
yes,
baptizing them in the name of the Father.
What is the name of the Father?
And the name of the Son.
What is the name of the Son?
And name of the Holy Ghost.
And what is the name? Hallelujah. No. You see, you know, I said, church, that is the problem in Christianity. You no longer read the Bible. The way you read, you go to school. Did you go to school?
I went to school.
Eh?
Yes.
How about? Then use your education now to help you. Eh? Abba. No, it's true now. Eh? Use your education to help you now. If I say you should go and do something in the name of your Father, which name will you go and use?
My father's name.
What is his father's name? What is your father's name?
Obani.
No, Father.
My father's name is Chukwuma.
No, your father's name is Father.
No, my father.
Eh? No, your father's name is Father. Since the Bible says, go and baptize in the name of the Father, you are going and baptize in the name of the Father. So it means Father is the name. Eh? Does that mean anything to you? That's why I say use your education to help you understand Bible. See, the problem with us is that instead of studying the Bible, we are reading the Bible. If you are studying the Bible, like I always say, if you come to this scripture, baptize them in the name of the Father, you will stop. What is the name of the Father? So that you will use it to baptize. And the Son, what is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Son?
Jesus.
So you know the name of the Son. You know the name of the Son.
Yes.
Then why are you going to put somebody in the name of the Son? Why are you not calling the name? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Baptism is in one name. That name is the name of the Father. It is the name of the Father that he gave his Son. And the name of the Son is the name that the Holy Ghost is coming by, according to the Bible. For the Comforter, hallelujah, John 14:26, for the Comforter, which the Father, which is the Holy Ghost, which the Father will send in my name. So what is the name of the Father?
Jesus.
What is the name of the Holy Ghost?
Jesus.
What is the name of the Son?
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Therefore, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, according to Matthew 28, verse 19, is to take somebody into the water. According to Matthew 28, verse 19, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You put him and bring him out. You have baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Yes?
So, sir, some of us have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and we emerge. We are submerged into the water.
Yes.
And come. Are we going to go back?
Yeah, because you only went to swim. That is why. Let's go to that Matthew 15 again. That's why you are here today. Matthew 15. Praise the Lord. I read one verse. Matthew 15. I read from verse 12. Amen. Matthew 15 verse 12. Hear what he said. After he told them that they are teaching for doctrines, the commandment of men, those scribes and Pharisees. Verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying, Master, do you know that they were angry? But he answered and said, that is where I am going now. Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Every false doctrine that has been planted in your mind, you came here today, it shall be rooted up in the name of Jesus. That is what this ministry is raised for. You came here today that everything that our Father has not planted in you will be rooted up. Through the word, every false doctrine will be rooted up. And today, through this water, every infirmity in your body shall be rooted up. Today is a day for rooting up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what we achieve anytime we come here every Tuesday. Hallelujah. That baptism you had, brother. Today is your first time coming here? Today?
Yes, sir.
Who invited you?
My in-law, sir.
Your in-law?
Yes, sir.
Your in-law wants you to go to heaven. Eh?
Praise the Lord, sir.
How are you related? Are you married? Have you not married? That will be your in-law.
I am marrying his sister.
Oh, married to his sister. Yes, you must be a very good in-law. You are so good, he doesn't know how to repay you. He said you must go to heaven. That's why he brought you here.
Praise the Lord!
Hallelujah!
Amen.
They have stuffed our heads with false doctrines, misinterpreted the Bible, misinterpreted who Christ is. No wonder in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul said, if anyone come and preach another Jesus. People are preaching another Jesus, another gospel. And that is not the apostolic doctrine. God raised us up to bring us back to the apostolic faith. And Apostle Paul says, examine yourself if you be in the faith. What do you want to say? Give me a microphone. Are you coming here for the first time?
No, sir. I've heard this before, but it's still contradicting. Actually, sir, I talked about Jesus as the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. What about the name Jehovah?
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Because that's the name of God, Jehovah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, God's name, God, has different names. Okay? God has different names. Now, whatever he is doing, he picks up a name for reference purposes. The name to identify with what he is doing. So, the name Jesus means Jehovah saves, or Yeshua, what we call Joshua. It means God saves, because this is the period he is saving. The Bible says Jesus will come in a new name. Because when he will come, he's no more coming to save, he's coming to judge. Therefore, the name will reflect judgment. For now, the name is reflecting salvation. That is why, for the purpose of our redemption, God's name is Jesus.
Sir, can I still say something?
Okay.
You know, the word Jehovah saves, you're talking about God saves, meaning that God the Father is the, Jehovah is the name, and Jehovah Shua, the way you said it, as in God saves. Father God and Jesus Son. Just like if I want to call my name, I'll call my name and my son name, or my father's name. So that Jehovah there that attaches Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Elohim, tells you that Jehovah is the name of God. That's my belief.
So we are not talking about the name of God. We are talking about the name God gave us to baptize with. So you are saying what now? Which name are we to use to baptize?
So what I'm saying is, from my own understanding, what I understood from what you said was, since we are to use, say, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, as in just use the word Jesus, in the name of Jesus, what about the name of Jehovah and Jesus?
I am just telling you now, I am telling you what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. We are to follow the teachings of the apostles. And we saw a commandment in Matthew 28 verse 19. And we saw when it was carried out in the Bible by the apostles. He said, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And Peter, who was there, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So it simply means Jesus is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when we trace it in other scriptures, we found out in several scriptures, John 17, Jesus Christ was saying, I have manifested thy name to the world. Which name was he manifesting? It was the name of Jesus. So for our redemption, his name is Jesus. Baptized. And then it says that salvation in Luke chapter 24, I think verse 47 or so, that baptism, redemption, salvation and baptism should be preached in his name. And that name is Jesus. And then remember that he obtained that name by inheritance. That's why Hebrew tells us. And then Philippians, Apostle Paul was telling the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, that because he obeyed even unto the death of the cross, He said, therefore, he, Jesus Christ, is given a name that is above every other name.
Sir,
at the mention of that name, every knee bows in heaven.
Okay, sir, please.
A name that when it is called in heaven, every knee will bow, must be the name of the Creator.
Sir, please, the verse again, I want to write it. Baptism should be preached in his name. Let me just put it in my...
Which one? I said Luke 24. I think it's 47. Luke 24, 47.
Thank you, sir.
24:47. And then, you can see it also in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You can see it also in Acts 19, verse 5 or so. You can see that in Acts 8:16 or so. I'll read from there. The scriptures are there. Praise God. Brother, can I continue now? You have not baptized yet. You have not baptized yet.
I have.
Where?
Yeah, here.
You do follow?
You said?
You were not convinced.
I was not really convinced.
So that baptism is of no effect. Because you were not convinced and you went. So that action, he said, anything that is not done of faith is sin. Faith is revelation. And God does not accept that. Don't go for baptism because other people are going. You will not achieve the right result. Go because you are convinced. If you are not convinced, stay with your infant baptism. Stay with your sprinkling baptism. And remain there. Till we go to heaven, then we shall know the truth. But by that time, it will be too late for some of us. Somebody put up your hand there. No. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Eh? What do you want to say, sister? What do you want to say?
Praise the Lord. Please, I'm meant to understand something about this baptism. But in some of our churches, because I believe...
Just one moment. Let me give my brother one more scripture. Just one scripture. I don't want to stay too long on that. My brother that went for baptism without conviction. What's your name? What's your name? Okay. Join John 5. Is it 5:43 or 10:43? 5:43.
John 5:43.
Yeah, read it. Read. Let me hear you. John 5:43. Give me microphone. Verse 43, John chapter 5.
Okay. I am come in my Father's name.
Who is the person speaking?
Jesus Christ.
What did he say? Say it again.
He came in his Father's name. As in, I mean Jesus Christ.
He came in his Father's name.
Yeah.
Which name did he come in?
What I say is, I am come in my Father's name.
Does that mean anything to you? He said the name he came with is his Father's name. So what is the name of the Father?
Jesus.
Thank you. Okay, the name of the Father of Jesus is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Yes, sister, you are saying something.
Yeah, I was saying something about the baptism.
Yes.
I believe most of us here came from other churches.
Okay.
Though I did an immersion baptism in another church before. But when this very church was in the local airport area,
yeah,
I did the same baptism. When I came, I was convinced I did it.
Thank you.
But in our local churches, most of our pastors, they are still repeating the same baptism, as in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So I don't know. And when you try to correct some of them, they don't take the corrections. So what do we do about that?
The Bible says, I read it in Matthew 15 now. It says, when the blind lead the blind, what will happen? They are blind. So take them for deliverance. We are all blind. Our eyes of understanding He has opened up at last. Our true victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. To jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God who's original life. But the grace of God still came and found some of us and opened our eyes. Amen. It's the grace of God. It's not because we are better. I am not better than the Pope. Yet the Pope doesn't know this thing I know. Catholic go vex now. There are things in this Bible you are reading that you need to know. A lot of things. Chrysocotti said that the Antichrist is one something that has been cloned. He's using big terminology to describe Antichrist when it is written clearly in the Bible that the Antichrist is a man. He's a religious man with large followership, and he is situated, his office is in Rome. It's in the Bible. The Antichrist is coming from the office of the Pope of Rome. It's in the Bible. If you like vex, maybe me write them. Amen. Hey, this man, you for just talk salvation. Do you know the meaning of salvation? The Bible refers to the Pope as the son of perdition. Do you know what the son of perdition is? The son of perdition is one that leads to destruction. You are following somebody that is leading you to destruction. You are saying, stop talking about it. Talk about salvation. Saved from what? What are you to be saved from? You are to be saved from the Antichrist spirit. And the Bible tells us, he said, his number, he said, here is wisdom, Revelation 13, is the number of a man. And his number is what? 666. Something is hidden there. He said, the wicked shall do wickedly. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12. He said, but the wise shall understand. How many wise people here? When Christ was born, wise men from the east. Where are they? From the east. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I come from the north. I come from Nasarawa State. And none of my people come and worship here. How many people? One, two people. They're not going to come. They are here. They prefer Ekwa, Koki, and what do you call them? That's what they prefer. Amen. Why? Wise men from the east. The Jews did not see that star. The star was in their midst. They didn't see him. It was wise men from the east that saw the star. The star that has something to do with the Jews, they didn't see. Praise the Lord. So if you have found this truth, you are among the wise. Amen. Christianity is not politics. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The pastor that came here the other day, he said that he has only one reason that he believes that God is here, that the truth is here. He said the reason is, he said two reasons. He said number one, he said not in the north, but in the south, a Hausa man is coming to pastor a church that is predominantly Igbos. He said that is evidence this is God. Secondly, praise the Lord. Secondly, he said the fact that Igbo people fool this church, it means there is truth here. You heard him the day he came here. Some of you. He said because Igbo man, if you lie to him once, you can't lie second time. He said if you lie once, when you come second time, you go say, nah, I didn't come. You don't go. So the fact that you go and come back, it means you are being told the truth. And this truth shall never stop in this church in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Carry your water. Carry your water. Carry your water. Water. Hallelujah. The Bible describes the word of God as the water of the world. The word has removed the denominational implantations in your spirit man. Now, the anointing of the Holy Ghost through this water will remove every nyama nyama the devil has put in your life.